Welcome once again to the Learning Digital Photography Podcast. My name is Jason Anderson. I am your host, and with me, as is more often than not the case, the venerable Carrie Garrison of Camera Dojo. Carrie, welcome back to the show.
I am so glad to be here, Jason.
It's been a while since we've done a show. All of, what, 2 or 3 months, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. I do about 1 month. It's been about 6 weeks for me. I'm a little behind the curve here. So we're getting back into the meat of things with fall rapidly approaching. And something that came up in conversation with myself and Carrie a while back, actually, I thought might make a pretty good interest and an interesting podcast, primarily because we both have talked about people in the past that have helped us or have been inspirations to us in our photography endeavors. And it made me start thinking about this whole question of what are the characteristics of a good mentor? Is there such thing as a good mentor in photography or in any field for that matter? And since Carrie and I had already talked about it to a certain degree via, what was it, Google Chat, I think we're on Google Chat, and we're bouncing some ideas back and forth. So I figured this might be a good topic for those of you that are interested in learning more about whether or not you should have a mentor in your photography skills and endeavors.
Or be a mentor,
and what kind of characteristics make a good mentor. And I guess the first thing I'd like to throw out there is the idea that, because I've seen so many people say, well, how do I know this person is going to really stand the test of time? You know, are they going to be there for me when I need them most? Are they going to be there for me from start to finish? And the whole point of having a mentor is that they guide you through a phase of development. I think that's the first criteria I would list as the characteristics to go for being a good mentor, is whether or not they're going to get you from point A to point B, whatever those two points are, but that you have to be very careful in defining a mentor from doing more or from expecting more from them than getting you from point A to point B.
Well, I think there's different levels too.
Right. And that's kind of what I was alluding to, is that there are different levels, and you're never going to have the same mentor that's going to guide you through your entire career. You'll have different mentors at different phases of your photographic development, whether you're going from beginning noob to learning about an SLR versus someone that's going to mentor you through the wedding photography arena that Carrie's in, or going to a published photographer in national magazines. You know, you'll have different mentors for different purposes. But that by and large, regardless of where you are, there are certain characteristics that any good mentor will have. And Carrie and I came up with a list that we itemized out, and I figured we could hash these out here on the show. So, Carrie, why don't you jump in with what your first criteria would be for a good mentor?
Well, I think somebody needs to have a desire to help other people.
Right.
And certainly that applies to, you know, even not necessarily people that are geographically with you, but, and I've said before, people like, I consider David Zeiser a mentor of mine, even though he lives 2,000 miles away. We've only met in person half a dozen times, but because of we've had communication, he's been on the show, and we've talked offline a number of times, and just because he shares the information that I desire to learn, he's out there with a desire to help people to become better photographers. And even though maybe not that one-on-one type of mentorship, but I've always considered me to be kind of a follower of his, and you could consider that to be a mentor.
Well, and sure, and that's why, and that kind of ties into the idea that you'll have mentors that assist or help you in your development in different ways, whether it's a one-to-many or a many-to-one. You could have many people that are mentoring you or tutoring you all at the same time. It can be through online training outlets.
Yeah.
You know, you can have people that you're learning from, but I think you hit on one of those key points there, is that, you know, someone who's mentoring others, whether it's one person mentoring another one-on-one, one person putting out learning tutorials or blogs or podcasts or anything of that nature, the desire to help is, I think, a crucial aspect of it, because if someone doesn't want to help, they're not really going to be willing to share what they know.
And I think that used to happen a lot more mm-hmm. on the negative side, back in the film days, where people were less willing to share their inside knowledge. And nowadays, it's a very open community. It's much more in the realm of sharing and trading knowledge. We see far more user groups across the country. Pictaj has a set of groups. SmugMeg has a set of groups. There's hundreds of independent groups. And within that, you can find your own, you know, local mentors to help you out. But it's the people who are starting those things and are out there to try and help other people. It's certainly one of the key characteristics of a good mentor is they want to be one.
Right. Right. They want to be out there. They want to be helping. They want to be sharing their knowledge. I think one of the things I heard, I think it was Joe McNally that said this in one of his Google Talks or something, where he said something to the effect of there are no secret keys to the kingdom. You know, and anyone that's trademarking their post-production techniques or anything like that, or, you know, hovering or covering things in the shroud of secrecy isn't really going to probably be the best person to rely on when it comes to learning information, because they're going to make you sign off on non-disclosure agreements where you don't share anything with anyone. How this is their patented technique to success, and you know, that kind of shroud of secrecy.
So I'm going to tell you mine. It's ISO 200 F56 at 160th. If anybody uses that, I'm going to sue you.
There you go. ISO 100. Say it again.
F56.
F8.0. Okay, and.
You know, it's all been done before. You know?
Right. And I think that's the bottom line here is, you know, there's really nothing new under the sun when it comes down to it. It's just a matter of what your take on that vision under the sun is, so to speak.
Now, do you want to take the other side of this at the same time, or go back and cover the other side of being a mentor later on?
We can do both. Go ahead.
Okay, because I think when it comes to a desire to help people and being a mentor, one of the things that I have always found to be true is that the more you share and the more you teach, the more you learn.
And exactly. Absolutely.
You don't have to be the God's gift to a particular topic to share the knowledge that you have, because there's always somebody who knows less, and there's always going to be somebody that knows more.
Sure.
But if you're willing to share what you know with other people, you have a tendency to push yourself further. And when they ask a question that you don't know, you're probably more likely to be able to find that answer, and it pushes you to try new things and experiment or look things up or do the research to answer that question that they were struggling with coming up with an answer for. So I have always found that teaching allows me to learn better.
Right. And I think that's a great way to actually go about the whole process of learning. And I don't know any good instructor or teacher or mentor or anyone that does any kind of educational or takes an educational approach to anything that has this preconceived notion that they know all there is to know on a particular subject, that they're always willing to learn because you never stop learning. You know, and
unless you're dead.
Well, yeah. But, you know, if you're still alive and you're still interested in any particular topic, it's a never-ending process of learning. I don't care if you're talking about photography or if you're talking about psychology. I mean, there's always more to learn. There's always other people to learn from. And you can learn from I think the tie-in there is you can also learn from unexpected sources if you just keep an open mind.
Absolutely.
You know, it's, you know, just because you've been shooting for 20 years doesn't mean you can't learn something from someone that's been shooting 2 years or even 2 months. They may have an idea that never occurred to you
and
before.
And we've talked about this on my show. We've talked about it on your show, that shooting with other people, someone is always going to have a different vision. They're always mm-hmm. going to have a different eye for something. They're going to try something that's a little different than what you've seen or done before. And right. it's a great way of learning. So I'm a huge fan of that.
Sure. Yeah. And that kind of ties into the other aspect of this that I kind of wanted to it's a good segue, actually, is this whole idea of learning, because it connotes a positive experience. You know, if you're not having positive experiences, in your chosen craft, in this case photography, you know, regardless of whether it's formal training or informal experiences, you know, you have to have that positive outlook, you know, and it's the positive reinforcement that comes from that can not only encourage you when you aren't feeling particularly positive or particularly insightful, having someone there that can reinforce some of the positives, show you where you are versus where you've been. Those positive outlooks and approaches can be extremely helpful when you have a mentor that's trying to encourage you and push you to keep you going when there's times that you might not necessarily want to keep going.
And I think, again, the flip side of that is if you had a really good experience with someone who was mentoring you, you're far more likely to want to be a mentor to someone else. It plays
absolutely
in that way. And here, a fun story. I mean, this again, back to David Zeiser, just because it relates to this. But a couple years ago, after following him for a while and getting some advice from him and some of that stuff, where that's when I was considering him, like, you know, this mentor of mine, I said, David, how can I pay you back for all this? You know, you've taught me so much. How can I pay you back? And his reply was, go teach other people.
And that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
How much more of a positive experience was that to me that encouraged me to then turn that around and again, kind of that pay it forward mentality, if you will.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Turn around, and now my payback for the people who taught me is to teach others.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Wow. So we've actually hit on two here then pretty quickly into the show here. We're only 15 minutes into the show, and we've already had two pretty powerful ones. Number one, as Carrie mentioned, is a desire to help. Number two is to find a mentor that has had positive experiences and will encourage you, like Carrie just said, to kind of pay it forward with your own positive experience. So if you do learn and you find something beneficial, to pay it forward and go out and, I guess, give back to the community on your own. So, yeah, those are two definite good ones. Carrie, given that list that we had developed before the show, do you want to tackle the third one?
Yeah, I'll take the next one.
Okay.
When you're looking for someone to be your mentor and for you to work with or learn from, you want to make sure that they have a good reputation for developing and teaching other people, because you want that same experience. You want to make sure that they're going to be a good mentor to you and that they have the ability to do that. And there are fantastic photographers out there who suck at teaching. I mean,
I know a couple off the top of my head.
I mean, I'm not going to name names, but
there are fantastic
photographers who just suck at teaching other people, and they'll just start shooting and they go, okay, now you do that. And they're like, what did you do?
Right.
And there's sucky photographers who are great teachers. I mean, there's but what you want is probably something in between. You want
someone with a little bit of both. Someone that's a good photographer.
You want someone who has the knowledge that you're trying to gain, but who is good at teaching people. And so look for people who have a reputation for doing that. And I think that'll go a long way to having that positive experience that we talked about on the last point.
I do think that's so true, because if you try and seek someone out that either is not good at teaching or training or development, and you try getting help or mentoring or coaching or assistance from them without doing your research and knowing whether or not they're good, you're probably going to be disappointed. You know, it's not going to be a positive experience for you. It's certainly not going to be inspiring for you. You're not going to be moving your own skill set forward. And in the long run, I think it can hurt you more than help you if you seek out mentoring from someone who doesn't have that reputation for developing others.
You know what? As I've been sitting here looking at this list, it also occurred to me that virtually everything on this list is also – good bullet points for choosing a good workshop to go to.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a workshop is a, you know, very time-constrained mentoring situation, if you want to think of it that way. And so you look around. What reviews has this person got from other attendees of this person's workshops?
Absolutely.
And, I mean, we have a local person here, Scott Robert Lim. Fantastic reputation for developing other people, fantastic mentor, fantastic attitude, positive experiences. And he's one of the guys that I will go to every time he's here. You know, even though I've seen some of the presentations 3 and 4 times now, I continue to go to him because it's again, he has a sincere desire to help. He's got it's always a positive experience, and he has a fantastic reputation for developing other people. And so mentor, workshop, a lot of this stuff is fairly interchangeable here.
Yeah. And, you know, the same holds true for, I'd say, for any demographic as well. Like Kara was saying, Scott Robert Lim is fantastic in his area. One of the guys in the Denver area that's equally reputable is Russ Burden. The Russ Burden photography workshops here in Denver, I hear nothing but positive reviews for, and I've been meaning to go to one or at least a couple of them. Just the scheduling hasn't aligned itself yet, but he has nothing but positive feedback and responses and reviews from his workshops. So that kind of ties into, I guess, the global audience here that's listening, or whoever is listening,
does anybody listen to us?
I don't know if anyone listens to us. I stopped counting those numbers a while ago.
My dogs are sitting here listening.
Well, there you go.
And the dojo dogs are here with me.
The dojo dogs are listening. But the whole point being is that there are tons of mentors out there all over the place. It doesn't have to be a big, huge name like a David Zeiser or Scott Kelby or a Joe McNally. And these are all good and very useful resources if you happen to be able to take advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves. But look in your own demographic. Look in your own community, because there are photographers everywhere. And they're leading small workshops, but they're valuable workshops and useful workshops and seminars that – and again, it ties back into the other thing that you can learn from anyone if you go with the right approach and the right attitude. And if you find someone that you can learn from and who's willing to keep educating and mentoring and coaching you, that's something worth hanging on to and worth utilizing to the best that you can. So, you know, look in your own marketplace and see if there's people that are leading workshops and leading seminars, because if they are and they're getting good feedback – odds are they have good information, and they'll be more than happy to help you.
Yeah, and that's why you should track down user groups in your area. Go to Pictage. Yeah, don't have to be a Pictage member to go to a Pictage user group. You don't have to be a SmugMug user or member to go to a SmugMug user group. I mean, and some of these, depending on the city you're in, draw anywhere from 30, 40 to 100 to 200 people who are all there with a common goal of sharing knowledge.
And learning more. Because I know people that go to the ones that are most – that are pretty popular here in Denver are these meetup groups.
Oh, meetup. Excellent
and
way of
finding. It's a fantastic one. And in Denver, there are probably 20 or 30 different photography groups out there of people who are not only out there to learn but also out there to help others. So it's a great way not only of – learning from others, but also mentoring people yourself if you happen to be of that ilk, and just a great way to network by and large. So, you know, these communities that we're talking about, you know, you're looking for people who participate in these kind of communities and have this reputation for helping others and wanting to help others and the positive attitude and the desire to help and all those things. But that, it kind of segues into the fourth thing that is still kind of important, and that is someone that has the time and the energy to be able to devote to not only helping you improve your skills, but in developing a relationship and a rapport with you. Because if you go up to someone right off the bat and say, hey, I want to learn from you everything that you're willing to share with me about nature photography, and they may be very knowledgeable about nature photography, and they may be a good mentor or a good trainer, but if their schedule is booked, you know, and they're going off on this workshop over here, and they're doing a stint over to the Adirondacks or Banff National Forest, and they're off on these adventures every 2 or 3 months, they're probably not going to be a good mentor for you on a one-on-one level, just because they don't have the time to devote to giving you the kind of tutelage that you're going to need.
Yeah, you probably don't want to start off by emailing Scott Kelby and asking him to be your personal mentor.
Exactly. It's kind of baby steps. You know, you got to kind of work your way up to that kind of a one-on-one relationship with someone. So it's just recognizing that people do have time constraints. They do have other obligations. So making sure that your needs match up well with the time and energy that a mentor would have to devote to you and helping you get up to speed and devoting time and energy to the relationship. Because in any of these scenarios, there's hopefully going to be a relationship that develops between the mentor and the mentee.
Mentoree.
I was like, I went to finish that sentence. And I was like, how do I conjugate that? The mentor and mentee, or
I'm not really sure.
The mentor.
I thought about
mental.
That too.
So that kind of leads to that.
I also thought, and we don't have a bullet point for this per se, but I also have been thinking that you probably shouldn't look vastly past your existing skill set. You know, if you're just starting off, you probably don't want to start off with someone who's been in the professional business for 50 years, you know, right. And is just, you know, an amazing photographer, because that's a huge leap to take in some cases.
It's a huge gap, I think, is the important point there, is that you don't want to be too far gapped between yourself and the person that you're aspiring to become.
And we mentioned this earlier, you know, and kind of touched on that you will, you know, possibly go through different people at different phases of your development. And so with that attitude in mind, you don't think that you need to go out and find God's gift of photography to get you,
teach you everything,
to understand ISO. You know, I mean, it's that gap is, as you said, is just possibly too wide. If you can find someone who's got all these characteristics and willing to do it, power to you. But odds are, you know, you're probably better off finding someone who's got a couple years more experience than you, who's also going to benefit from the mentorship program by pushing themselves more to learn. And that may be a better relationship to start off with.
Absolutely. And what kind of ties into that, and on a similar note, is that there's nothing wrong with approaching your colleagues and having them mentor you on something. For example, when I first started getting into lighting, one of the first people that I went and talked to about lighting was Mr. Garrison right here on the show. And, you know, it's no secret that he's had vastly more experience in off-light photography. So one of the first people I went to that I knew I could learn from was Kerry, and just, hey, I'm having problems with this light. How do I do this? And he was able to communicate it to me quickly and effectively, and I got up to speed that much quicker.
I think that does work really well, because there's people here, you know, my good friend Chris Dissett. He is extremely good at posing people and getting this emotional look from the couples. But he wasn't very good at lighting. And I'm really good at lighting, but I wasn't so good at that. And by collaborating on a lot of different projects, we ended up teaching each other a lot of things.
You stole my word, because that's the word that I was going to use, was if you find someone that's a
collaborating
colleague,
that's
that
mine.
Can teach you on one thing, you can hopefully teach them on something else, and make it more of a collaborative approach to the learning/mentor relationship, the learner-mentor relationship. That's probably the phraseology to use there. So yeah, you want to make sure that they have the time and the energy. You want to make sure, like Kerry and I were just speaking to, that they're not too far gapped away from you in terms of knowledge base. And that kind of segues into our next subject here, is the knowledge base. Because if you are shooting digital, you don't want to get a mentor that has done nothing but rangefinder cameras or medium format cameras, that doesn't have the same background skills or isn't even current. I know some people who are fantastic photographers, but all they shoot is large format film.
And while a lot of the concepts may be the same, the technique can be vastly different.
Yeah. And that kind of ties into the whole thing of having, I guess the best way to say it is, up-to-date knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, that people who have maintained, you know, current knowledge sets and or skills, you know, whether it's knowing how to take something into Photoshop or take something into Lightroom or, you know, whatever processes, you know, you need to learn more about, your mentor kind of has to know that stuff.
Well, already. I guess if one of your goals is to learn how to shoot 4x5 film.
Sure.
Then great. You're there. But if you're trying to stay current with technology and trends, then you want someone who is up to date on technology and trends.
Exactly. You don't want someone that's going to be referring you to the silver halides and the darkroom chemicals. Make sure you turn the red light on so people know you're in the post-production room.
And today I'm going to show you how to develop with nothing but bleach and orange juice.
or tenotype photography. Yeah, there's crazy things out
like
there.
Like what? Just, I put my CF card in orange juice? What?
Yeah, how do you do that? Wouldn't it? But yeah, so anyway, that kind of that's the I think the fifth bullet point we were talking about here is making sure that they are up to date in their knowledge base and their skill sets, and they have an understanding of current trends in technology, I guess, for lack of a better phrase.
You know, and this is a great one. And what's funny, and I'm looking at the next bullet point here, which we actually talked about earlier, so we probably should have moved this one up. And a good mentor should have a learning attitude. They should be just as willing to learn. And absolutely. As I said, I get so much out of teaching that, I mean, it has pushed me much further than I would be had I not done any teaching or education. And
absolutely.
So by having that attitude that I'm willing to do that, I'm willing to push myself, I'm willing to learn by teaching, that is a fantastic characteristic.
Well, and there's a great idiom, or I guess an old saying that I come from the teaching background or the collegiate background, where people were saying, if the whole idea is that if you really want to learn how to do something, or you really want to learn a subject matter, try teaching it.
Yeah.
You know, that's really going to be the best way for you to learn about anything, because you really do kind of have to get to know something inside and out when you start teaching it. Students are going to ask questions, and if they ask a question and you don't have the answer, number one, it's okay to say, I don't have that answer with me right now. Great question. I'll have an answer for you tomorrow. And then that forces you to go home after class is over and learn whatever that question was and get the answer to it and understand it and verbalize it back to them in a meaningful and an educational approach. So not only have the students learned something that you're teaching or the people that you're mentoring, you've learned at the same time.
And I think,
so yeah, that learning attitude is hugely key.
Right. And I think if you were to ask us why do you learn by teaching? And I think, Jason, you just touched on it, you know, because you have to go and research and do things. But also when I'm thinking about a particular topic that, you know, I want to share, I have to really think about how am I going to present this in a way that's going to be easily understood. Mm-hmm. And so often I'm really thinking through a given topic, and you know, maybe I have to try something a little different. Maybe I need a different example that's going to show or demonstrate a particular technique or something. When I wanted to do a series of things on how to use gels, I mean, I know that I can throw the stuff down and I can get colors on the wall and everything, but I hadn't really thought through the process. And so I had to take a step back and go, okay, how am I going to explain this to somebody? And the end result was, by the time I was done, I was so much better at using gels. You know,
sure. And I think this, yeah, and you could apply that same principle to, you know, a class on using gels or a class on off camera lighting or even. God, I'm drawing a blank now. it doesn't matter what the point is. So if you want to teach someone about the exposure triangle, for instance, or in your case, the exposure L that you refer to it as, you know, teaching people about these rules of composition, you know, the Sunny 16 or anything like that. until you know it yourself, you're really not going to be very good at explaining it, because you have to know it yourself to be able to verbalize it in a way that will help someone else who doesn't know it understand things. So it's in learning things yourself that you're better able to teach others. And I don't know how else I could really
I think we've put that very well.
Put that to bed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, our last bullet point we had here, so just kind of recapping here quickly, we've mentioned a desire to help others, having had positive experiences and helping you pay it forward. Number three is having a good reputation. Number four is having the time and energy. Five is up-to-date knowledge and skill sets. Six is a learning attitude and approach, and this kind of ties into the positive experiences, so I may adjust the outline here when we go to post the show notes. The last point, Carrie, why don't you go into that last one, because I think you're probably going to be pretty lucid when it comes to this whole concept of – well, I'll let you go into the managerial skills.
Okay. Yeah. You need to have effective managerial or mentoring skills, and that covers a wide range of things. You need to be good at coaching – counseling, facilitating, networking, all these things tie in to being a good teacher. And, you know, you could substitute mentor for teacher, or, you know, any topic there, but we just kind of like the word mentor. It sounds really cool. I also like minion, but I don't have enough of them right now. So
a good mentor has many minions.
Minions, yes. Ooh, is it mentor and minion?
It might be.
But, you know, there's a lot more to it than just being able to explain a topic. Effective coaching is that can play into how does someone help critique your work? You know, is it constructive criticism? You know, is it really giving you the information you need to improve?
I think what the reason why I chuckled about that is you can be seeking mentoring or tutelage from someone and take them a portfolio of work, and you may think they're a mentor, but if all they ever give you is this sucks, that sucks, you know, horrible composition, you need to improve your lighting, this is wrong, that's wrong. You know, it's the same thing from the flip side too. If all they ever do is sing your praises, you're really not going to learn anything from them. But by the same token, if all they have is negative feedback for you, are they really being a good mentor? You know, because they have to recognize that coaching, you know, means encouraging people to move forward, not just finding the negative or not just finding the positive. You have to coach and have a little bit of both. And a good mentor recognizes when one is needed versus the other.
I think because I just like throwing names out here today. Roberto Valenzuela, a fantastic photographer.
You mentioned him to me before.
But he also, one of the things he does a lot is he is a judge at photo competitions. Mm-hmm. And we've had him come down to the Orange County Photo Club here in Southern California to do photo critiques of images that people brought in. And it was fantastic to have him do that, because he would sit there, look at an image, and then turn around. I mean, and it was anonymous. You didn't have to say if it was your image or not. Some people did, some didn't. But he would then say, okay, here's what really works for me in this image. Here's what doesn't work for me. Here, if you would have done this, if you would have cropped this a little bit more, this would have highlighted the subject a little more. This dead space over here isn't working very well. It was a very, very good experience to have him not just say, yeah, this wouldn't have made it, but to say not only why it wouldn't have made the cut, but what parts of it worked really well. And you can then take that knowledge back and say, okay, based on that, I can now be better, versus I just didn't make the grade. Oh, well, what's next? It was a much better experience than that. And that is really effective coaching.
I think what ties into that is, on a very similar vein, is a podcast series that David Duschenman did a while back over with Peach Pit. And it was a very cool podcast, because it was a finite period of time. He did it for like 16 weeks. And he was talking, and it started off with his book that he had just finished, within the frame. And during this podcast series, there was a means to an end. And during that podcast series, he actually encouraged people to submit photos. So during each show, he would bring a photo in and he would say, "This, like Kara just said, this is what works for me. This is what didn't work for me. Or here's what I might do different. Or in a perfect world, it might have been nicer to have a starburst from the sun in the upper right, since Kara likes starburst so much.
I love
sunburst. I'll throw that in there.
I love the sunburst.
The sunburst and the starburst. But yeah, that's the kind of thing where, you know, you have to have the positive and the good. You know, here's what I like about this image. Here's what I might have done differently. You know, or in a perfect world, maybe it would have been better to take this shot at 6 in the morning when light was off to the side, as opposed to high noon when it's directly overhead. Those kinds of approaches and I guess styles of coaching can make the difference between being a good mentor and being
sucky.
Shall I say a bad mentor or not as good a mentor? So yeah, it definitely ties into it. And you had another keyword you had mentioned there that I think is crucial when it comes to identifying the characteristics of a good mentor is the ability to counsel.
Because when you hurt their feelings and they cry, you need to be – oh, wait. Okay.
Well, you kind of hit on it a little bit, because you want to be able to identify as a mentor when someone is ready to hear positive feedback versus negative feedback.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's, you know, and again, it's all in the delivery. And I think one of the approaches that I've always found – most gratifying for me is to hear a mentor or a teacher or a critique that starts out with, "Here's what works for me. Here's what I like about this image."
Yeah, I don't do that for you.
You don't do that for anybody. But no, I'm just saying in general, though, I think from a psychology perspective, it's always good to start with positives and then work into things that you might do better next time.
Although I have found with my wife, if I say there's good news and bad news, I usually get something thrown at me.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to be careful there, you know.
That might be a fun podcast. The good news and bad news of photo critiques.
You're right. You're right, Jason. I mean, when you're working with somebody and people are very – some people – can be very sensitive about their work, and you need to be cognizant of that and sensitive to their feelings, and make sure that you're presenting your critique in such a way that you're not being overly negative, unless it just really sucks, then it's okay. But you know, there's a time and a place, right?
Just sell your camera gear. Just, you shouldn't be in photography.
Put it away. Put it away now. You know.
I've had to do that with a few computer people. Okay, it sounds like this computer's bus is just pack it up and send it to me.
There's an opening at Arby's.
So yeah, and the last two components of this that you had mentioned, you had mentioned facilitating and networking skills. Did you want to wrap up a little bit with discussing how that can be beneficial?
Sure. You know, I think beyond the technical aspect and the artistic aspect, I think you also want to find someone who can then, you know, help push you in other areas by getting you in front of other people who you can work with, by introducing you to other people who may be able to take you to another level. And
or a different level, I think, is a great way to say
it. It may always not be linear, right? You could go off on a tangent somewhere, you know.
Exactly.
I may be, you know, extremely good at doing product photography, but if you want landscape photography, I got to hand you off to someone else. That's not my thing. You know, I mean,
yeah, and that's a fantastic example there. If you want to learn lighting photography or learning how to light product photography, Kara is definitely an individual that you may want to talk to. But if you want to learn more about landscape photography and the rules of fine art composition and what works well and what doesn't, I can probably help you with that.
Yeah, and those are two different skill sets.
Yeah.
And even though a lot of the constructs are the same and a lot of the concepts and some of the techniques are the same, they are different skill sets. And if you have an interest in one person who is really good at one thing is not necessarily going to be really strong at teaching you the other.
And that's what kind of ties in this whole ability to facilitate and network, because if you have a mentor that has taught you everything you need to know about a particular subject,
and you want
to start learning more.
Everything that he's been capable of teaching you.
Or she, right.
Or she.
So you know, if you've been having this mentor and you get a burst of inspiration about, ooh, maybe I'd like to do some train photography, or I'd like to do some, you know, wild underwater photography, or, you know, take your pick of any one of a subgenre of photography that your current mentor hasn't had much experience with, their ability to facilitate an introduction or to network you over to someone else that can help you in that very specific area or that limited niche area is crucial. You know, you want to make sure that you're getting your advice and your guidance and your coaching and your mentoring and all that from people who are, I guess, networked in the industry. You know, that's the whole idea. You know, it's a community.
Oh, because, you know, to reiterate on that, we talked about product photography versus landscape photography. But the other thing is, I won't teach business.
Right.
If you want to learn about photography business, I mean, I've got podcasts about it. I just had a GoCast about it. But I'm not going to be your mentor to teach you business, because I'm not passionate about that. I mean, yeah. I want to teach people how to make great images. Sure. And I have a business person.
Side of it.
I have a tax attorney. If you want to talk business stuff, you can talk to him. But if you want to talk about the business of photography, there are much better people than me. And I understand that about myself. And so I've made the decision. I am not going to ever teach a workshop on how to run a photography business. That's not my thing. If you want someone who can hold your hand through starting up a business and getting it going, that's not me. But I know plenty of people who can.
And that's the whole point here, is a good mentor can point you in a direction where you can get help if it's something that they don't either A, don't feel comfortable mentoring you on, B, don't feel comfortable discussing just because they may not have the experience or the skills, or C, they just don't have the time anymore. And that can always be the case. You know, you seek someone out that's got the time and the energy, and they help you develop your skills and your craft, and they move you forward, and you get to point A, and you finally reach this point A, and they become more of a colleague. At that point, they're saying, you know what, I pretty much taught you everything I can on this particular subject. Maybe we can collaborate sometime, but it might be time for you to find a mentor that can teach you in another area that can challenge you further.
Mm-hmm.
So I can help you with that, or, you know, however they want to approach it. But the whole concept here is the ability to recognize where your interests may lie. And if it has come to a point where you're going down a different path, and they will be able to facilitate you in that direction. So, yeah, it's definitely an important skill to have, or an important criteria in looking for a good mentor. So, yeah, I think we covered quite a bit here in this last 45 minutes. Just to kind of summarize things, then, we had the desire to help, positive experiences, a learning attitude, a good reputation, someone that's interested and has the time and energy to devote to you, that has the knowledge base, and then last but not least, knows effective managerial skills when it comes to coaching. And what was the second one you said? Coaching and
counseling, facilitating, networking.
Right. So, you know, these are all just key characteristics that you're going to want to keep in mind. We're going to go ahead and put these show notes up on the podcast notes, because I think they really are important to kind of bullet point or summarize, so that people can have that takeaway with them when they go out and they start looking for a mentor. If you're a mentor out there, I would close things out with this kind of solicitation for feedback, if you will. So if you're a mentor yourself and you're interested in helping others learn, or if you're looking for a mentor and would like some direction on where to go or who to seek out, or if we may know of anybody that can help you in a particular venue, please, by all means, feel free to ask us. You can post a comment or a question at the bottom of the show notes when this blog post goes up. You can contact me. My address, as always, is jason@canonblogger.com. So you can post me an email. You can comment on the show notes. You can hit me up over on Twitter. My Twitter handle is cbjason. over on Facebook. It's facebook.com/KenAndBlogger. And the same holds true for Carrie as well. So why don't you go ahead and give them a little contact information here too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can always come over to cameradojo.com. And my contact info is there, Facebook and Twitter. All those links are there. You can reach me directly at Carrie@CarrieGarrison.com. Absolutely. And, you know, Jason and I have both been doing this for a while. We've got our sites. We've got our podcasts. And, you know, we're trying to do that one-to-many kind of relationship with people to reach as many people as we can to help them in different ways. Jason's take is a little different than my take, which is really good combination, which is, you know, we don't feel like we're competing, you know, for market or anything here, which is why we collaborate on these types of things to try
so
and
many
share.
Things.
Yeah. And
God, how much have we collaborated on? I can't tell you the number of projects.
One of the few things that I've been doing solo, if you will, is this new series on Camera Dojo called the GoCast.
Oh, right.
And it's been kind of fun because I got the GoPro camera. I stuck it up on the window of the car. And as I'm going between client meetings or between jobs, I'm trying to take one particular topic and just discuss it while I'm on the road.
Hence, those are up on what? They're on Camera Dojo?
They're on CameraDojo.com. Yeah, I think I'm up to number 3 right now. I've got some more recorded. And one of them was on the business of photography. One is about, you know, pushing yourself and things like that. And it's again, these are kind of mentor by proxy, you know, if you will.
Well, and I think we all kind of do that. We have an interest in hearing those kinds of snippets because, you know, periodically anyone can have an insightful moment of things that they may want to share that can encourage, help, or inspire or mentor others. And this is just another venue towards those ends. So, yeah, I've watched a couple of them. You had 2 out already, right? I think I watched the first.
Yeah, I think I just put the third one out. Yeah.
Did you? Okay. So check those out over at CameraDojo.com. That's his GoCasts. And last but not least, one last little tidbit from you, if I could. Tell me more about the Black Belt Lighting, because I know you've had that site up for a little bit.
Yeah, blackbeltlighting.com. It's been going really well. That's my line of lighting products, if you will. I mean, I've got these soft boxes designed for speed lights. I've got a couple different lighting products. I've got light stands and all kinds of good stuff. And we just came out with the new 565 speed light, which is an ETTL speed light for only $225 for Canon. So it's better than half the price of a 580 EX2, which is
much more cost effective.
Phenomenally cost effective.
Much more cost effective. The last thing that kind of ties in, since we're mentioning products and services, the DIY legal kit that came out over at Canon Blogger just a month or two ago has a supplement coming out to it.
Oh, very nice.
So in October, start looking for the supplement. It's going to be like one-fifth the price. It's like $5 or $7. That's going to be talking. There's no forms in this one. It's going to be talking about copyright versus licensing versus model releases, what the terminology all means, what the circumstances are, how generic these can be applied, different rules for different localities. A lot of Q&A came back from the DIY legal kit, and this supplement is going to answer a lot of those questions that have come back because people were asking things about when does a model release conflict with a photographer's copyright? You know, how come I have to do this licensing? Don't they own the image? You know, I'm a wedding photographer. They have the image. What do I do? So it answers a lot of these kinds of questions for you that kind of gives you a little bit of a primer or a prequel to the DIY legal kit. I had released the kit with the assumption that people had an understanding of these things, and apparently the understanding wasn't completely there, so I'm going to be doing a little prequel or primer that's going to be coming out. Again, it's probably going to go for about $5 or $7. I haven't determined a price yet. I need to talk to my marketing specialist there to get all the details ironed out, but that has been in the works for some time. I have a couple more meetings with my attorney to finalize the details of that as well. So if you do have any questions that you'd like to see included in that primer or that prequel for the DIY legal kit, please also feel free to share your questions on the blog as well. So that's our products and services marketing promotional bit there.
That should be really good. I mean, because that is a tough topic for people who are getting started and don't really know when to use different contracts and different forms and agreements and how those play in. That should be a really good addition to the ebook there.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the feedback that people had given me on putting out something like that. And it kind of ties into a mentor thing. You can learn from those that you teach. You know, well, hey, this was a great legal kit, but when do I use this form? What a great question, you know. Why didn't I include that kind of thing? It's like, oh, wow, a light bulb goes on, another way to help educate and teach others in a one-to-many kind of approach like we were talking about here. So, yeah, that was a great show. Carrie, thank you very much for coming on the show. I do appreciate you taking the time to talk to everyone here at Learning Digital Photography.
Always my pleasure, Jason.
Always a pleasure. And thank you to everyone for listening to the show. We'll catch you next time.
And thanks to the Dojo Dogs for being quiet.
Hey, that's right. They were quiet for like an hour there.
The whole show. Just before we started recording, they were loud, but they've been quiet the whole show. So good girls.
I'm going to have to do a little post-production because they were barking during the first minute or two. It was before I did the hello, welcome to Learn Digital Photography. So I'll edit that out, though. No worries. Again, thank you for coming on. Everyone, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Learning Digital Photography.